Oh, yeah. Here we are, somewhere in Middle America, celebrating Thanksgiving. And I hope you guys all had a good day. I hope you're all wearing your leggings or your elastic waist pants by now, kicking up your feet and just taking in the day, however you spent it. This is your host, Kim Justice, on Brain Injury Radio Network, and I am substituting for Fantastic Frank. We want to wish him happy Thanksgiving, and the rest of our host, Frank, is out making his fortune on the big tour around the United States, doing some talking and some TV and all kinds of other stuff, so we wish him lots of luck. And Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week with a variety of different hosts. All of these live programs are archived almost immediately after the show airs for on-demand listening at your leisure. This is a live show right now. Of course, how would you know that if you were listening in the archive? Because I'd be saying the same thing, right? Really, for real. 424-243-9540. If you're out there tonight and you'd like to call in and share some things that you're grateful for, or maybe some things you're not so grateful for, or tell us how you spent your day, if any of the other hosts are out there listening, I bet we'd all love it if you guys would do a pass-through, talk about what you did, how your day went today, and we'll just do a little sharing. Now, one of the things I asked you guys to do last night, I've done so many shows lately, I forget where I've been. I do want to put something in. Last night, I couldn't have been more blessed to have a wonderful Thanksgiving show. Last night, my guest was Kim Carnevale, and her website is Kimberly Carnevale. So scratch what I just put in the chat room, please, and let me get Kimberly out. But Kimberly was just a fantastic guest. She has just really, at a young age, had a lifetime worth of experience, including a traumatic brain injury, as well as a number of other tragedies in her life. And like I said, it was sheer providence that I would have that guest on just before Thanksgiving. My attitude had been a little bit turned around. I know in my head that I have many things to be grateful for, but sometimes in my heart at this time of year, I have some seasonal affective disorder, got some things going on in my life that are not the way that I would have them. And when it starts getting cold, it was on a cold January 9th, right after the holidays, that I had my aneurysm, and my life changed forever after that. So this just isn't really, in some ways, it gives me some trouble this time of year, as I realize it does for a lot of you out there. One of the reasons that I'm here tonight. And my guest last night completely changed the mood I had been in for the couple weeks before, because I was talking myself into a mood, talking myself into why I'm grateful. And it seemed like it was a lot of work the last couple weeks. And then Kimberly was on last night. I heard her story, and a couple of things occurred to me. One of them is, no matter how bad we ever think we've got it, there's somebody out there that has it much, much worse. And that if we surround ourselves with people who are standing in the darkness, that's where a lot of our moods will take us. Water will seek its level. And so at a time when I know I'm more vulnerable than others, and whether that's being a brain injury survivor or the time of year or a certain kind of stressors that are going on, you really need to hold your head up, yes, and allow the light of the spirit to wash over you so that you can find that feeling of gratitude. And my guest last night, Kimberly, did that for me. And then today I got up with a completely different attitude, and that attitude of gratitude and feelings of thanksgiving were right there when I woke up this morning. Some of you who have heard me talk before know I've been concerned about my little 93-year-old Nana, who's in the skilled care facility away from her independent living apartment the last, over a month, rehabbing from falling and having a broken clavicle. And we didn't know really until today, but she did get to come to Thanksgiving today. And for that, I am very grateful. And in March of last year, my dad was having a lot of problems. He has Parkinson's 8 years into it and was having some horrible back sciatica type issues. And so today, as I sat there with my family at Thanksgiving, I was thinking about the fact that I truly have been blessed. This group of people, a lot of this group of people, I've spent 54 years with, Christmas and Thanksgiving and 4th of July, our family holidays, and Mother's Day, because Nana's birthday is right next to it. So 54 years, that is a long time. And so one of the things I put in the program notes, and we'll have a variety of things to talk about tonight, is I asked about making a gratitude list in the program notes if you read it. If you didn't read the program notes and you're out there in radio land, grab your pen and write down 7 things that you're grateful for. And I did do that. Every now and then I do some of what I ask you guys to do. Not true. I always do all of what I ask you guys to do, or I wouldn't do it. So I did, and one of those things was being grateful for tradition. I'm grateful that I've been able to have this tradition in my life for such a long time and have that kind of appreciation. My husband, and we thank him, spent 20 years serving our country, and so he didn't get to be around his family a lot, and his family was scattered, and he was in active duty, and his daughter and him moved every couple of years and really didn't have the opportunity to set up that kind of a tradition. I know a lot of my friends, people getting to be my age and in the last decade, have been in a position of losing their parents and members of their family, and their lives have made that big shift that I'll be looking at somewhere down the road. And you know, one of the mistakes I was making prior to this, in the last couple of weeks, I guess, is thinking too much about the future and not staying in the day. The day was today, and that 50-plus tradition was in place, and I couldn't be happier, and I don't want to think out into the future because all we really have is today. And those of you who know, I wrote a book. It's called In a Flash, Miracles Here and Beyond. And in a flash, that's how fast our lives can change. We can get up in the morning, and it's just like any other morning, go about our business, and boom, changed. Life is changed forever without any warning. And so the tradition was something I was very happy about, happy that my Nana could make it to Thanksgiving this year, and with God's grace, the troop will be able to do that for Christmas too. But again, I'm going to stay in today. For those of you who aren't able to look at the program notes, you may or may not get all of this, but Les Paul typed earlier, he had turkey dogs today, and I think he was referring to, you might see kind of freaking some of you out on the program notes, the scrolling dogs that appear to be part dog, part turkey. And there are four of them. There's a mini dachshund turkey named Mario and a teacup poodle turkey named Sophie and a French bulldog turkey named Benny and that wild Libby, the bug, part Boston, part pug, part turkey today. And so with my husband's artistic prowess, he was able to do a little touch-up, shall we say. And that's one of the things, a couple of the things I'm grateful for. First of all, that I do have a wonderful husband. He's kind and giving and understanding. And it's because of him that I've been able to do this. Be a host on Brain Injury Radio and a couple of other things I'll tell you about that I'm grateful for. Without his help and support, there are things I wouldn't have been able to experience. So I'm grateful today, as I am every day, for Gary. And those four dogs, turkey dogs today, but tomorrow they'll be back to just being dogs. And one of the reasons, you know, we were talking last night about the importance of animals and to our recovery and to our happiness and to our blood pressure and all the positive effects that animals have in our life. And I was an only child, so when I was a kid, my dog, we always had a dog when I was growing up, and my dog was my sibling, my best friend, my playmate a lot of the time. I didn't meet people easily when I was a kid. That's another story for another day. Well, I did meet them, but in any case, my dogs were the place that I found that unconditional love, always glad to see me. Never judged me that I knew of. If they did, they didn't bark it out. I think I did see them roll their eyes at me lots of times in my life, but never any harsh judgment, always a kind lick and a warm, furry friend. So I'm very grateful for the little animal spirits that enhance our lives, whether they're service animals or just spoiled animals like mine. The other thing, scrolling across the screen tonight, if you're able to see the program notes, is two pictures of me. And one's in 1995, my zipper head picture, and one is from this summer. And I am very grateful that I got a change of hairdo and that somehow my hair got blonder after that ruptured aneurysm, for God's sake. If you picked up on that. But, you know, you got to make a joke because in that picture, that was like, oh, let's see. I had had that ruptured brain aneurysm and I was in a coma for 11 days during which I had the craniotomy. So it might have been maybe the 14th day or so that I woke up and I saw that zipper head. And one of the things they don't do in the hospital, I don't want to gross any of you out if you've just eaten your turkey, so plug your ears for a second, but there was matter in my hair, my brain matter. They don't, like, you know, go in and put you under the knife you know, then give you a fancy do. You know, they flip your face back up and staple it back on, and my hair, God, my hair was Anyway, that whole thing, I was blessed, and some of us would say a little bit cursed now, but truly blessed that I guess I have one of those silent, not a disease, what do we call it? I'm not an epidemic. Silent challenges, let's say, from my brain injury. But I am grateful that I haven't had to go through that again since 1995. But looking at it, when I was going through looking for pictures, we've got a new system in our studio. We could used to put up, I think, 5 pictures, and now we can put up, I don't know how many. I've never pressed the bar, but we can put up more now, very recently, than we could before. And when I was flipping through pictures and I was thinking of not putting that up, and then I thought, yeah, I'm going to put that up. That's one of the things I am really grateful for, that I made it through that experience, and I'm here today to tell about it. I'm here today to be with you guys tonight, many of whom have been through the same thing or something similar, and to gather with people of like minds who understand what that was like on a lot of levels, how it feels to see yourself unrecognizable and feel yourself unrecognizable, and then take whatever time it takes to process into the new me. But first, there's the grief about the old me and the lack of acceptance and awareness that the old me just probably ain't going to happen. Chances are real slim. So if we don't get the old me back, what do? We process into the new me, try a lot of different things. Some we're going to like, some we aren't. But somewhere in that getting off the bench and getting into the game, we're going to find the pieces of the puzzle that when snapped together become the new me and feel as much, if not more, gratitude for the new me that we've evolved into than the old me that we had such a hard time grieving and letting go of. So today I'm very grateful that my process, it did take longer than a lot of you out there, partially because of timing. In 1995, there wasn't a computer on every desk, and as most of you know out there, when you get your bell rung, you're not thinking your most clear. And so I was going on what the doctors were saying and had a visiting surgeon and fell through the medical cracks and just kind of tried to go on with my life and compensate and act as if I was the person I was before. And people will enable you to do that. Loved ones and friends around you, the ones that stick around, some of them jump like rats off of a ship, you know, the minute they see change or some kind of reality that they don't want to face, they're just gone. You know, you find out real quick who your true friends were and who the ones that were hanging around, you know, the good time Charlies, who they were. But even the people that love you and stick around, you know, it was a horrific thing for them too on their side of the fence. And when you look normal, it's pretty easy to try to push down that horror that they went through and want you to be who you were before, and you want to be who you were before. So, you know, if you're not in touch with a group like this, where you're able to share your experience, strength, and hope, then you're alone in your head with no knowledge base, no basis for comparison. And it's a tough place to be. It's a really tough place to be. So I'm grateful today for that realization as well. I wasn't able to have children. I had decided when at age 35 I had had my brain aneurysm. Before that time, I was very busy and very successful in my career and a very free spirit, to put it lightly. I was all over the place. And I kept thinking later, 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 later. I can get to it later. I can get to it later. And, you know, it was funny because from the time I had been a little kid, you know, I grew up in a generation we played with dolls and everybody just knew they were going to grow up, get married, and have a family. I know that's not true anymore necessarily, but in my generation it was pretty much you knew, you know, and you know, the bra burners had already been through, so you knew that you were going to work, bring home the bacon, and grow up, get married, have a family, and now bring home half the bacon. And so roles were starting to change, but that original plan, you know, is what I had in my mind, and I had wanted to do that ever since I was a little kid. So to me, it was a foregone conclusion. I was going to grow up and get married and have a family, but I was too busy being into self and into discovery and just thought I'd wait for that responsibility and that it would come when it came. And then I died and missed it. Holy moly. I wanted to get right on it after that, even though I was told that would be a very unwise thing to do. The clip that was holding my brain together, they didn't recommend that you go out and try to have a family at that time. And being someone who had a tendency to be a risk taker all through my life, I didn't care that almost dying and missing what I thought my dream was made me willing to risk my life to get that because I almost missed it. And so I did get married to the person I had been dating. He asked me to marry him a couple months after my brain injury. I said yes, and about 6 months later we got married, and I tried and it wasn't meant to be. So today I'm grateful that Gary, when we got married, has a daughter, Amber, and she's now 30. She was in her early 20s when Gary and I met, and we have two little grands, Jaden and Aubrey, age 7 and 3. And so I am getting the opportunity to interact and impact little small humans. Now, I am not Martha Stewart, as most of you know. Today, I made the mean green bean casserole. And I laugh about this because when I was single, that first marriage only didn't last but a couple years, so we won't count that for just a minute and forget about it and say at 45 when I got married, up to that point, when we had these traditional family gatherings, I was pretty lucky because I was the footloose, fancy-free single one, and so nobody had an expectation of me being domestic because I was everything but. And so I had to do things like pick up the chips or, you know, the ready-made relish tray or the bag of ice. And I had it pretty darn good. And then I got married, and all of a sudden the first holiday came up, and they told me that I needed to bring a dish. I'm like, seriously? I got married, and this automatically domesticates me. So I brought a dish, and they told me the second year I needed to put something in it. And so I saw that recipe they got on all those cream of mushroom soups and dried onion things for that mean green bean casserole. And now, after many years, I'm happy to say that I have a few nicknames, I'm sure. But the one I have around my family is that I am, in fact, now the Bean Queen. And little Jaden, the 7-year-old, loves it. And it's kind of funny, since we usually go out and eat when the kids spend the night, she said, Nana, I just love your green beans, and I ate 2 helpings. And I said, oh, good, I'm so happy that you like those. And when the girls spend the night, we're surrounded by donut stores, which means we have a lot of protection in our neighborhood with the police all over. And Gary always goes, you know, when the girls are here on Saturday night, the girls come, right, I just said that, Saturday night. And on Sunday, Gary runs and gets donuts that we have for breakfast, and that's the only time we have them when the girls come. But we have donuts, and so today when Jaden told me she loved the green bean casserole and she had two helpings of it and was going to take the rest home, I said, well, I'm so happy you like it, honey. I'll have to make that when you come over next time. Don't you think that'll go good with donuts? She looked at me like I was crazy. So I'm her little bit off the wall. She's got a Martha Stewart grandma who is a pleasure and is going to teach her some of those kind of things. And I'm going to teach her how to be a good girl, but just a little bit crazy, a respectful girl, but push that envelope just a little bit, and to live her life to the fullest and not to wait, not to be impatient, do impulsive, wrong things. But if you've got dreams, go for it, because there might come a day in a flash where that opportunity isn't there anymore. And so I think I am pretty close to my seven things, although I will rattle off that I, coming into age 50 then, another thing I was very grateful for, and it was all a path, bing, bing, bing. I was told in second grade, and my parents expected me from a young age to have good grades. I was always expected to have good grades, and I did. I was scared of what would happen if I didn't. And all through college, I was on the dean's list. But in second grade, you know, all of your curriculum is put out there for you, and you got to take art class. Good Lord, I could do all of whatever the other classes were that you take in second grade, but I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. And a well-meaning, young, new second grade teacher said, it's okay, Kim. Not everybody is meant to be artistic. Some people just aren't artists. And I took that on. I don't think my feelings were hurt. I don't really remember, to be honest with you. I remember the comment, so it definitely impacted me, and it imprinted me with a fact that didn't turn out to be a reality 40-some-odd years later, but for all that time, it was my reality that I was someone who was smart, but I'd never be able to be artistic. And when I started taking pictures, I had gone through a rough patch, as we do. We have good days, bad days. And coming into 50, I was getting kind of depressed. And I was at the end of my 25-plus year career. My brain deficits had started catching up with me. The fake it till you make it had gotten harder. One of the things about that took so long, I was able to go back to work and work for a decade, is that all of the sudden, I was in financial services industry and the compliance started changing. First, you saw it in the investment industry, the banking industry, the insurance industry. And my long-term memory wasn't so affected. So if it was about doing what I had done exactly the way I had done it for 25 years, maybe. But with new volumes of legal ease crap forests they had cut down to stir up all this new compliance, I was overwhelmed and confused, and I didn't ask for help. I was ashamed to ask for help, and so I kept it inside and stuffed it and lasted for a couple years, and then I'm surprised my head didn't explode again, but my emotions certainly did. And so I was going to need to make a switch, and I was sitting there at around 50 years old thinking, what on earth am I going to do now? I did what I knew how to do. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't seeing a lot of beauty in life at that moment. And my husband got me a camera for my birthday or Christmas. Don't remember. Birthday, I think. And I went out. I didn't think a lot of it. But I went out and I started taking pictures. And some of you, I'll put this in the site, some of you know about this and some of you don't. But I have a website, www.kimotofoto, and it's KimotoFoto.com. And I started taking pictures. I didn't want to take pictures of people. I would go out and drive in my convertible when I could and just drive alone and gather myself. But I really wasn't taking in the sights. I wasn't taking in the journey. I was headed for the destination of where I would have selected to shoot that day. And so I would get to the place and I take pictures of landscapes, a lot of flowers, close-ups of flowers. And it would be when I got home and started uploading the flowers or downloading or whatever you do, and they got on my computer, that I looked at them and I looked at them again, and they were beautiful. And God made them, but I captured them in those moments. And I was able to find beauty in life again through the lens of a camera. And so one day, with my sales background, I stopped into our botanical gardens, one of our big tourist things. A lot of you have them out there. And I went into the gift shop, and it was just a cold call thing. I made some note cards. I had made some note cards that I was using myself. I thought, why buy other people's? And so I made some pretty note cards, florals, and then some local scenery type postcards, note cards. But I popped into the botanical garden just on a whim, you might think, and I asked the lady, I can't believe that the person who ran the gift shop was there when I decided to make this impulsive stop. And I also happened to have a portfolio of 8x10s with me. And I said, I was just wondering if you'd be willing to carry my note cards, any of my note cards, in your gift shop. And the lady looked through my note cards, and then she said, is that a portfolio there? And I said, yes. And she started flipping through it, and she said, you know, I really like your work. Would you be interested in having your own exhibit here? And I looked around this botanical garden, and it's like a museum. There was artwork all over the walls. But I answered, like a good salesperson would, of course, I would love the opportunity to do that. And when I went walking out of there that day, she told me she'd check the calendar, get back to me. We wound it up, and I got out in the parking lot that day, and I remember it was sunny, and I looked up at the sky, and I panned back all those decades of the little girl in second grade who wasn't an artist and wasn't ever going to be an artist, and went, yes! I was blown away. Wow, I can be an artist. What a revelation. And then I was really blessed because it took 37 pieces of huge art to fill that gallery. And okay, Les Paul, I saw that. I'm seeing part of what you guys are saying, and I'm sorry, I'm prattling on here. I'll give you guys an opportunity to talk, and you can anytime you want, or keep having a good time in the chat and listen to me prattle on. But in any case, luckily, the first available date they had was almost a year away, and that was good because I had like 3 pieces, that I had blown up into like 11x14s to put in my house, but I needed 37 huge pieces of art. And so I was very fortunate that I had a year to get that together. And each couple weeks, each month, I would, when I'd have the money, I'd get a piece made. And some of them were big and framed, and some were gallery wrapped canvas, and some were on presentation board, I tried to have a variety. And then I hired a college girl to go and hang all of my art in the gallery. And that was another pivotal day. I left her to finish up. I had been working with her all day, the day before my exhibit started, and it was a 7-week exhibit. And I left her. And when I came back the next day and I walked into that gallery and just looked around slowly at each of the walls, and it was all of my artwork. And it was a miracle. It was a miracle. There wouldn't have been any chance that I would have ever imagined that I would be walking into a gallery and seeing, it's kind of like a horseshoe shape on both sides of the wall, and seeing all of my, blew me away. And I had the best time. And one day, a lady came down, and she said, some of you have heard this part of the story, so I'll whip through it quick, but a lady came down, excuse me, that I had just met. She was an acquaintance, and she had overheard me saying that I was going to be doing this, and a lot of my friends and family, of course, came down to take a look. And one day, this woman named Marty came, and I had one little piece. The rest were all big, but I had a couple of little pieces, actually, in the gift shop, but only one like this one. It's in my book, and I've read it to you guys before and posted it before, but what it was is I had taken a picture of a cool statue of a woman. She was very, no pun intended, statuesque, but she was a woman standing with her hands down at her side and her palms out, and she looked so calm. And I thought she was beautiful, but she was in one of our local nurseries and was like $5 trillion, so I couldn't buy her, and I took a real cool picture of her. And then at one point, I had written some, you know, I've written some poetry off and on in my life, and I wrote a poem that had kind of a feminine flair to it. It was a recovery-related poem. And I tried something new. I overlaid the words of that poem over the statue photo and kind of muted the statue back a little bit so that you could read the words of the poem. And I had one piece like that, and Marty zeroed in on it and walked up to it and said, wow, I didn't know that you could write too. And I said, oh, I do a little poetry here and there, no big deal. And she said, you might really enjoy coming and joining my writers group. Now, at that moment, mind you, I'm kind of beaming about this newfound photography experience, and so I wasn't thinking about writing, and I was just polite, you know, and I said, yeah, maybe sometime. So where do you guys meet? And we've got about 1 million people in our city, so it's, you know, more than just Main Street, we'll put it that way. It could be a lot of territory. And she told me that they met once a month at Julio's restaurant back in the meeting room. And I just looked at her because we were downtown on the opposite side of town while this conversation's going on. And I just kind of smiled and looked up at God because I learned about God things. I had learned about God things at this time, and I recognized it coming. And Julio's restaurant happens to be like a half a block away across the street from us. If I had a good pitching arm, I could go out on my porch and pitch a ball and almost hit this place in the front door. And so I understood from that day that I was supposed to go to this writers group. And it took me about a month, but I did. I went to the writers group, and these people were all English instructors or already published authors. They were all from the English end of academia, and they went around and introduced themselves and talked about their accomplishments. And geez, what was I going to say when they got to me? I didn't have any, you know, like that. I read a little poetry here and there, and felt kind of like a sheep. And when the meeting got over with, I walked up to David Martin, the editor of this book, and I tell you guys this because you might be interested, particularly Jenny out in the chat, but there's an organization, and he is the editor of it, and it's called FineLines.org, and I just put it into the chat room. And what that is a really nice quality book that comes out 4 times a year that's a book of short stories and poems. And every now and then, photographs. And I walked up to David and I thanked him for allowing me to be there that day for their meeting, but I said, I'm really not one of you. I wasn't an English major. I was a business major, finance major, I'm really not equipped to be here in your group. And David looked at me thoughtfully for a moment, and he looked me in the eye and he said, I know that you have something to say. I know that you have something to tell the world, and you stay and you write, and the rest is what editors are for. And I said, okay. So I did. And over the next 9 months, I was writing some short stories. I wrote a short story, but mostly poetry, and I submitted quite a few of my photographs. Some of you might have seen on my Facebook page the other day, one of my photographs was selected as the third cover shot of their book, and then there were about 4 or 5 other pictures in there, and remind me to tell you a story about that too. I was hanging around these people once a month, these academic English types, and it was starting to rub off on me, and it was forcing me to pick up the pen because I was going to these meetings. Now, since I started radio, I haven't gone to as many, and so I haven't written it down, Jenny, but I've got some plans coming up, going back to those meetings for one. But in any case, after 9 months of being with those people and interacting with them and kind of getting in that groove I hadn't been in before, my mom had been telling me ever since 95 when I journaled my memories of my ruptured brain aneurysm and took the notes and stuffed them in a plastic bin and put them in the basement. Every year, mom had been saying, you just really need to write a book about your experience. So many incredible things happened. You really need to write a book. You really need to write a book. Every year I'm hearing that, and I'm ignoring my mom and not doing it. Now I'm in the writers group, and every month David sent out a note to remind us of our meeting. And he always signed off with the words, write on, W-R-I-T-E, write on. David. And so suddenly for that 9 month period, I'm hearing the echo of the last 10 years of my mom saying, you got to write a book, you got to write a book. And David, his note every month, write on, write on, write on. And then I'm there in this group of people for a couple of hours each month. And it was at the end of about 9 or 10 months that a couple other things shifted, I won't go into, but it became time to write my book. And so the art exhibit, totally out of the blue, unexpected, wasn't on my chart anywhere, led to the writer's group, which led to me writing my book, which led less than a year later to me being a host on Brain Injury Radio. And that, from a girl when I wrote that book who had never met another survivor in the 17 years from 1995 until I was writing that book at the end of 2011, and it came out at the beginning of 2012. And so here's someone who was never going to be an artist and never going to get around to writing a book, certainly didn't have any pedigree or anything on my resume that would lead you to believe I could be a radio host. None of that was on my chart. And I thought back after being here for the last, I don't know how long, 14 months or something. It's been a while now, every single Wednesday and occasionally on other days when I'm pinch hitting. And I look back and I think how hopeless I felt in 95. At the time I had that zipper head, and in that first year, even though it only took a few months, couple months, to look pretty normal, because I was able to get bangs cut. I didn't have bangs before that. I got bangs and did kind of a comb over to hide my wound, and then tried to act like I was before. And I had no idea at that time. I was so confused and so hopeless feeling, and didn't have anybody to talk about it or that knew about it. And when I would talk to traditional medical professionals, there was a combination of the pill du jour, getting pill pelted, and finally, when I wasn't responding to those or denying those, you know, sent to what I affectionately call the shrink boneyard, because there wasn't anything they could do for me. And nowhere along the way had anyone mentioned anything to me about independent living centers or support groups for people with brain injury or any of that kind of thing. My saving grace, and again, God had my back through everything, was that I never had heard of a brain injury support group, but I had been in a support group for some other prior issues I had dealt with in my life, and I had been there for 7 years. So I was pretty entrenched with that group of people who are into support and recovery, and a lot of the things I talk about now, I learned then, and I've now been with them 26 years as of November 17th. And so while I might have been brand new and green to the brain injury radio support group on Brain Injury Radio, we still don't have a real live group here. Maybe the time avatars are even more popular, we'll have an avatar support group, but nothing in Omaha like that. So in any case, I was blessed to have people who were nurturing and caring and who were there filling the waiting room while I was in my surgery, more than likely not expected to make it. And all of those dear friends were there to console my family. They couldn't see me. I was not allowed to have visitors at that early point, as people were finding out and coming to the hospital in droves. And I truly believe in the power of prayer. And I truly believe in the power of support, like-minded support. And I tell people about support groups and about Brain Injury Radio that different groups have different personalities, just like different people do. And so if you're new around here, like I was, and you go to a show and you don't really care for it, don't let that initial impression or judgment make your final decision. I always recommend that people go to 3 to 6 meetings, different meetings, different shows. And I'm surprised, I'm not surprised, I mean, that 9 times out of 10, you're going to find what you need. It might not always be what you want, what you think you want, but it's going to be exactly what you need. And what I needed at that time was a safe place where I wasn't talking about brain injury or what was going on inside my head, but I was safe. I was with safe who knew I had been hurt. They didn't understand it, but they were protective of my vulnerability. And that's what I hoped to get here. When I came here, that's what I hoped to bring to Brain Injury Radio, was that same kind of safety and support for the vulnerable, whether they're newcomers or old timers going through a rough patch, or just wanting to feel part of something moving forward, not standing still or going backward. And people who want to plug into the universal feeling of connectedness and spirituality and belong. Because for so long in the brain injury category, I wanted to isolate, I wanted to avoid, and I didn't want to deal with it because I didn't know how. The feelings were too overwhelming, and I didn't have coaches at that time to help me out. And so, excuse me, green tea break, talking too much. And so, in any case, those are some of the things that I'm very grateful for today, and that my journey brought me here. All of that journey from the day I was born to the comment at second grade to all the time in between, me here tonight. And I am a culmination of all my experiences for the last 54 years, good and bad. And what I can be grateful for today is to be honest, or to try to have as honest of an appraisal as I can about myself, and admit my faults as well as my successes. And I call my show Recovery Now. Now sounds immediate. And in some ways it is. What the now part is about is action. If you want to recover, you have to take action now. You can't think about it, ruminate about it, sit in your room and ponder it, chart it out, draw the blinds and stay in bed and pine about it. You actually have to take action to do it. And that was one of the things that I forgot to read for anybody that is new around here. And I can't find it. So I guess we'll get to that in just a moment. But in any case, I needed to take positive action to be able to come to a place in my life where I was going to be able to do all these things. And I heard once that God gives us things when we're ready to handle them. And a lot of times, you know, I was the kind of person who wanted to know all of the answers yesterday. I wanted to know all of it yesterday. Didn't have any patience. And in fact, Kim said this last night on the show, and it's kind of funny. I was laughing. I didn't bring it up at the show last night, but she said something about sometimes you have to be careful what you pray for. And I was kind of laughing because in like October or November of 1994, I prayed for patience. There was a lot of things in my life I had made progress with, but patience wasn't one of them. I was 35 years old and impetuous, and I was not patient. And so I prayed for patience at the beginning of November. And January 9th, I had a brain aneurysm. And that is not exactly the way that I had in mind to be able to practice patience. And so now, pray for the strength and courage to meet life on life's terms. I've got to say that that particular prayer and what happened has made me stay a little away from specifics sometimes. I do have faith, ultimately, that however it shakes out, when I look back at the story that I just told you guys, shared with you guys about things that I'm thankful for and shifts that happen in my life that never should have. They didn't resemble me in the last 5 years. These things just didn't resemble me in the rest of my life. Didn't have the qualifications to do any of it, and yet I did it. And it gave me a sense of purpose and confidence and self-worth. And those were things that I lost after my brain injury because I didn't recognize it. I didn't know how to handle it. And I didn't want to feel what hurt so much and what was so confusing. And so I look back with a lot of gratitude today on Thanksgiving. Those are my seven and then some of the gratitude list. And there's a lot more, but I only asked for seven in the assignment for anyone who read the program notes. And just about calling and talking about what you might be grateful for today. So I'm going to take your calls and I'm going to shut up for a second, in a second. Again, I want to give you the number 424-243-9540 and make sure to press 1 so I know that you want to talk. And there's one piece of housekeeping I forgot because I started the show a little different earlier. But this show is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. I introduce topics and survivors share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. Tune in, stop in, and call in. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers. Some nights we'll have a featured guest, like last night, and others will introduce a topic of recovery, like tonight, encouraging callers to join us in the discussion. And then many times, for the last part of the show, we have some phenomenal indie musicians, many of whom also happen to be brain injury survivors or in the process of going through brain injuries as we speak. I also want to thank my Recovery Now sponsor, Lash Publishing, and have you check out, if you haven't yet, their website, which is www.lashpublishing.com, and you will see that the only thing they publish are brain injury related materials, whether it's for the survivor or for the professional. But one of the things I wanted to point out to you guys is, for those of you that don't know, they launched a new magazine back in April, comes out 6 times a year, so like every other month. And now I think they've kind of changed it to a seasonal thing. But if you go to lapublishing.com or you just Google Lash, like eyelash, L-A-S-H, publishing, and go there, on the left-hand side, toward the top, you'll see Brain Injury Journey. And if you click on that, it'll take you to the magazine subscription page. And up top, you'll see the paper copies and a subscription price if you want the hard copy sent to your home. But if you scroll down just a little bit, you will see click here to sign up for our free, can't beat the price, free online version of the magazine. And I encourage you all to do that. There is just some wonderful contributors, many of whom have been guests on my show, and more that I'd like to have be guests on my show, but some really valuable information and like I say, for free, has a lot of information for caregivers as well as survivors. There, Janet Cromer has done a beautiful job on compassion fatigue that she writes about. A lot of concepts I didn't even know existed. And so if you want to get an education, you don't want to have to spend a lot of money for it, between listening to Brain Injury Radio and signing up for that free magazine, Brain Injury Radio, you can really find out a lot of things that will make your journey easier, or at least equip you with more tools to use. Because like I always say, there's not one magic bullet that fixes everything. It's a lot of determination and a toolbox full of different tools that we can try. Because the one that works today might not be the one that does it for us in tomorrow's situation. And so we always want to have our own back and make sure we have those tools available. And these are great places to find them. So I do have one person who's called in and has their hand up, and I think I will let area code 727 join me on the air. And who do we have?
Hello, Kim. It's Michael.
Michael, how the heck are you, buddy?
Very good. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. Was it a good day for you?
I had a very good day, thank you.
Did you have turkey?
Yeah, a little turkey. I try to watch what I eat because I don't have a good stomach, you know? So I didn't eat that much. But I did have a little bit.
Well, good. Good. So you're not as stuffed as some of us out here in the audience right now?
Yeah. No, I try to curtail that because I have to go swim 8 laps tomorrow morning.
Holy moly. Talk about determination and motivation.
Yeah. That's what I do to try to stay in shape is swim a lot, which is very good for my bones.
Yes, and that's a very good tool, Michael. Exercise, and particularly the swimming, because it doesn't hurt your joints. That's a very, very good tool of recovery.
And I don't walk too well, so, you know, in the water, you don't know anything, you know?
Right. Doesn't matter how you walk in the water.
Yeah, right. Anyway, let's talk about gratitude. I love this topic.
Good. Les, your turn.
And taking the day. I take in the day by writing. As you said, I'm a sort of loner, and I've been that way. I worked. I'm a very hard worker and all, so it's not too easy for me to talk to people and make friends with people. And, of course, I have a brain injury, so it's really not. And I take in the day, since 2008 I started this. I have taken in the day by writing things down. And sure enough, I wrote a page a day. Till now I have 2 books done. And I have like 4 books ready to be published. It's unbelievable. I just love to write. Yeah.
I just love to write. God, you're going
to
have... Now, did you ever get around to writing the kids' stories you were going to write? Or are you writing all...
They're sitting here. Eight books of 32 pages apiece. They're sitting here ready to go to an editor, you know?
Right. Wow, that's incredible.
I'm just building things up now. I love to write. And, go on.
Well, nothing. I was just going to say that's a really good tool, and that Jenny, you know, your friend Jenny, you used to correspond with, she's in the chat room, and for Jenny... And you guys have just been really, really good. You know, when I picked up the mic and started talking and, you know, researching people for the show, it doesn't give me as much time to write. And you and Jenny have just been wonderful using writing as a cathartic tool. And I recommend that other people do this too, whether you're just journaling or you're, you know, if you want to write a book, great. If you're doing I call Jenny's a blog. I don't know that that's technically what it is, but that's what I call it. And you write your books, and
I don't know what's
a
blog. What is a blog? What classifies? Because I'm not too good on these computers. What classifies something as a blog?
Well, you know, I don't really know, Michael, because I don't think Jenny's technically is, except it's somebody who writes on a regular basis, and they usually share their feelings or their opinions in some kind of an online forum. And, for example, I have something on my website called my blog, and it's been there for a year and a half, and I think I've written in it 6 times. And Jenny has a spot on her Facebook page, and I would call that a blog because she writes there regularly, she writes there honestly, and she does a really good blend between research and sharing her own feelings. So she not only gives of herself and allows herself to be vulnerable like you do when she's writing those pieces, but she's also really good at going out and doing research about brain injury and finding like new treatments and things like that that a lot of us don't have time to go out and read. She's doing the research and then writing about it. And I think that's kind of what a blog is like.
Oh. Well, I write stories. I have this great ability I found that when I could start sitting down, I just can write two, three. I only expect myself to write 2-3 pages, though, a night. You know what I mean? I won't write any more than that. But if I could write 2-3 pages a night, there's 365 days in a year, you know? That's a lot of pages.
Yes, it is. And I think you're good to limit yourself because people can get burned out if they try to do too much too fast.
Yes.
You know, if people sat down and tried to write a book every night in a week, they'd be sick of it and throw their pen away and they might never write again. So you're doing it really smart.
Yeah. So that's what I have my gratitude on. And I so much enjoy. The last publication came to me and said, after my first book, let us help you. And that was a great, and this is how I met you, Kim, and I'm so glad I've met you, to talk to you, to ask you questions, to just run things by you, you know, that this is why I stay awake, because I'm on the East Coast, so it is kind of late over here. Just to talk to you and say hello, and you do a great job. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael. I always enjoy talking to you. I love your accent. I got to tell you, you just remind me of a teddy bear, and every time I hear you talk, I just want to squeeze you. So it's lucky you don't live closer by.
Well, have a good the rest of Thanksgiving, and wish all your others a good Thanksgiving, okay?
I will, but I got one more question. Something about Newfie dog.
Newfie.
Your dog? Do you have a dog?
That's in my book. That's what the whole children's book is about.
That's what I thought.
Children's book is Michael and his Newfoundland dog. And it's all about Newfie and my experience of what I remember with Newfie. Because in New York, we had a lot of land. So he did have the best of the best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He had better acreage than some horses on farms, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, a Newfoundland isn't a small dog either. So that's good.
No.
He had such room.
Yeah, he was a huge one. He was a huge one. But we fed him. We fed him we fed him as much as a horse to keep him big, you know?
So did he pull sleds or anything for you up in the snow in New York?
Oh, yeah. We attached it. He pulled it like nothing. He pulled 7 little kids on a sled like it's nothing. up and down the, this is how big the dog was, you know?
Aww.
He was like a huge black bear, you know?
Now,
and he used to, oh yeah, all those things.
Aww,
you could walk down the road with him and everybody would say, what a gorgeous dog, but no one would ever approach him because his fangs. He had like 3-inch fangs that hanged out of his mouth because his jowls hung down his head so much that no one would ever even come close to me because the dog could swallow their arm.
Oh, my God. Now, see, yeah. You're supposed to take, you know, just to pad your bed a little bit, you can take that big dog, but you're supposed to have a cute little puppy in your pocket because that's what the girls like to come and see.
Well, that's why I'm not married. That's why I'm not married or anything. I'm just learning that, you know. I didn't do too well in sex education in high school.
Well, it's okay. You keep Newfie in the book, and that is a wonderful memory and story. And I think everybody, I encourage everybody to read that. But next time, I think you got to get a little puppy, a sweet little puppy, hang out in the park, and you will have girls on you like a magnet.
Yeah. From your lips to God's ears, kid. Thank you very much.
God bless you, and thanks for calling in, Mike.
All right, nice talking to you, Kim. Good night.
You too, sweetie. Isn't he cute? Oh, boy. Yep, that was Michael Ciafone, and if you couldn't tell, he's a New York Italian transplant to Florida, so I am totally jealous. He's not having to put up with this cold weather. I was telling you that somewhere in middle America, we are at about 11 degrees. So I wish I could say I'm freezing my tush off because I could stand to freeze a little bit of that off. But that ain't happening. It's just dang cold. That's all I got to say. Now, what happened to Craig? I guess I missed that. I saw that Craig Phillips was in the room earlier and don't see him now, so not sure. Maybe he had to go eat too. And yes, Michael's book is his first book anyway. He's obviously churning those babies out, but Silent Cries by Michael Ciafone is his first book, and it's an excellent book. He recently... Oh, what was it? I lose track of time, but I had him on my show again right when his second book was coming out, and that was maybe 4 months ago or so. And so do check Lash Publishing. I know that he's got his books there, and I'm not sure about Amazon. And last time I talked to him, his agent was building him a website, and I should have asked him while he was on the phone if he's got that new website yet. But if you're interested in hearing more about Michael, you can certainly get a hold of me. We're friends on Facebook, and I can get you in touch with him. So that would just be coming to my until I learn how to work our brain injury radio mail, come to my inaflash.org site. That's INAFLASH, www.inaflash.org. There's a tab right on the page that says contact author, and you can send me a note anytime asking me about contact information on any of the guests that I have on the shows or any suggestions that you might have for shows that you'd like to hear about. All of us hosts are always interested in trying to accommodate. Not only are we very lucky that Craig Cecilia, our founder, allowed us all to pattern our own shows individually. There wasn't a template that we all had to do Stepford brain injury shows. We all got to have freedom of how we format our shows. And for that, I'm very grateful. But we also all want to accommodate our listeners, because if you weren't here, we wouldn't be here. And a lot of why we're here is because you're here. So we do want your voice to be heard and appreciate your comments and suggestive criticisms, not the other kind. Don't send us those. We don't like to get those at all. I'm going to, since I said that about all of us finding our voice, and that was great that Michael called in and shared his gratitude. He didn't give me seven, but he gave me one, and I will take that. I think that that's just wonderful, a great tool that several of you out there use, and I want to use that tool again. In fact, I talked to David Martin today, and I can't remember whether it's the first Saturday or the second Saturday of the month, but I want to start going back to the writers' meetings and picking up that pen of mine, if not running through some paces on my own blog, on my own website, then I'd like to be writing some more stories so that I can write a second book. I was telling somebody not long ago that, well, I told you guys earlier that when I wrote my first book, in fact, I heard somebody say once on a program that he didn't like people who wrote books about their own experience, you know, because, I don't know, in effect, who cares about their experience? I don't exactly know what he meant by that, but he didn't like reading books about people who wrote books about their experience. And I thought, wow, that's obviously I disagreed. When I wrote my book, I didn't have the benefit of having the experience of a bunch of other people or education on matters of the brain or input or a comparison from other survivors. And so all I could do is write my own story. And there was value in me writing my own story because there's a lot of people come to find out that found what I wrote very relatable. Even though I didn't know them at the time, there's a lot of people that have been misdiagnosed. There's a lot of people that have had challenges with the process of going from the old me to the new me, relationship problems, grief issues, and periods of rediscovery and witnessing of miracles. Those were things that I wrote about. And it turns out that once I got here, even though when I wrote that book it was about me, I found out that a lot of you have a lot of parallels. And I've learned more. I've said this a million times, I know, but I've learned more in the last over a year here, being a frequent listener of other host shows as well as doing my own every Wednesday night. And I know a lot more than I did when that book came out at the beginning of 2012. And I'd really like to share a lot of what I've learned from all of you. And I don't think I'm just going to be able to sit down and do that I want it all yesterday attitude. I think I'm going to have to know better and know I'm going to have to start pacing again. Like I said, maybe start out a little going back to the writers group to be around like-minded people, more like-minded people in person where we're meeting and set myself up for, you know, the success and the follow-through. There's one thing if you just tell yourself you're going to do something every day, and there's another if you have other people to help motivate you. And I think that that's really important. That might be the difference between thinking a project and finishing a project, is the like-minded, supportive people that you surround yourself with that are doing the same thing, because you are each other's teacher and each other's support. And that's how things get done. So in any case, I'm happy that Michael called in and shared that. And I'm very happy to have been witnessing you know, one of the things I'd be writing about, you know, witnessing the change in people since the programming came on, and people have had an opportunity to share with other like-minded people, pros and cons, and the changes and the cathartic influence that it's had on me both ways. And so however we do it throughout our process of recovery, we're always learning how to find our own voice. And that would be a segue for you to go heat up your tea too. Unless, Paul, I've got a little bit of that headache too. I'm going to grab a couple Advil, put in some hot water in my tea. Going to tell any of the rest of you out there, again, the number is 424-243-9540, and call and share some of the things you're grateful for with the audience, because chances are there's some people out there, and I mentioned this, I don't want to be redundant for the people that did hear last night's show, but when we change, when we shift and we go through one of these brain injury experiences, or a loss of a loved one, or an abuse situation, or an addictive disorder, you take something away and it leaves a hole, a void in the soul. And you're going to fill it. You're going to fill that hole with something. And it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be something negative, or it's going to be something positive. And it's going to be about the choices and the action that you take at that point. And to know when to pull in the reins and recognize that if you're going down the wrong road. There's some people out there filling that hole and that void and that loneliness by self-medicating, just so they don't have to feel, because they're beside themselves, they're lonely, they don't know what to do about it, and so they're practicing avoidance by self-medicating. And that is not only not going to improve their brain injury or put them on a path of light, but it's going to give them another problem to worry about that may well cause another TBI. Or you choose to fill that void with the light of the spirit. And I know sometimes when we're feeling like we've been sideswiped, or the carpet's been pulled out from under us, or why me, or how could this happen to me, and what am I supposed to do now? And in that time where we lack clarity and we have fear, it's hard. It's hard to understand that God didn't do this to us. Things happen in the human existence, and God helps us get through them. And again, one of the ways he does that is the same way that Daniel Christian describes it. And you can find this guy at danielchristianmusic.com. And on Facebook, if you're listening from Facebook, you're already at facebook.com/Daniel Christian Music. And that's DanielChristianMusic. I'm going to put these things in the chat room right now, but since it is Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for these indie musicians who've been willing to share their music with us. And if you are, it might be nice if you told them you're listening to Kim on Brain Injury Radio tonight and you really love the song or appreciate them sharing their talent with us, or whatever your kind comment might be, by a random act of kindness and being other-centered, getting out of yourself and giving somebody else a stroke tonight. So this is Daniel Christian with Find My Voice. Thank you.
question never seems to change. Are you with them or are you with us? And if it's true, I am not ashamed. There shouldn't be much to discuss. But for every answer that draws you near, there is an answer that will make you run. And as long as identity remains unclear, the coward will give the easy one. We can be automatic, carefully diplomatic. I need courage to speak my choice. Now that it's been a while since my courtyard denial, I am still trying to find my voice. I am still trying to find my voice. My brother is waiting to believe. We all love him just the same. There are gifts we both receive under the same sun and rain. I can't speak out of stillness, but I'm waiting to fill this space with courage to make my choice. How can we preach salvation from our own isolation? I am trying to find my voice. I am just trying to find my voice. Never knew I would come this far. When you get too good at fitting in, it's hard to tell who you really are. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time to find my voice. Now is the time to make my choice. Now is the time.
You guys will tell me if I'm unmuted now. Can you hear me now? That was Daniel Christian with Find My Voice. Or now. Now you can hear me? I think what I'll do is put on my next caller. I'm sorry, folks. Sometimes that happens to me. You in the chat room and out there in the audience that have listened to me more than once, thank you. Thank you. Bless you. Know that one of the things I have a tendency to do is when I'm going to get up and go make noise, like grab that tea kettle when it's whistling and do that kind of thing, is I mute my mic to try to let you have quality sound, and then I forget whether I've unmuted or not. So I appreciate the people in the chat room that let me know right away so that I don't like say something super duper profound on mute, because I know I've probably done that just tons of times. Some of my best material is probably already been done on mute. And I'm going to put my next caller on. But in between calls now, I'm just going to read you a couple of read you a couple of quotes. Remember God's bounty in the year, stirring the pearls of his favor. Hide the dark parts, except so far as they are breaking out in light. Give this one day to thanks, to joy, to gratitude. That's by Henry Ward Beecher. And with that, area code 803, you're on the air.
Hello, Kim. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Les Paul. I'm borrowing half a headache, but I just took some super-duper migraine Advil, and we
too.
Ought to be able to do it. Cheers.
I took my Excedrin migraine.
There
and
you
I'm
go.
Sorry I didn't come on and speak earlier, but I could barely make it through the show I did earlier. And if it wasn't for Constance Miller, I don't know how I would have made it because I was, my head just got me about 3 o'clock today and it never let go.
Mm.
But I'm even thankful for the migraine. I really am. I'll read my list in order if that – I mean, your list of
yeah.
Wasn't it 7 things?
Yes,
it's kind of long. And my reading is slow, and I'm kind of slurred sometimes when I'm like this. I've had a really powerful migraine this evening. It makes my reading seem like it turns upside down sometimes. I'm thankful
okay.
for God, country, and freedom because we had the freedom to come on here and talk without a dictator saying, no, you can't do that, and locking us up and towing us away to jail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for the people who have taught me through their love, care, and advocacy that have past, present, and future, because I'm learning from you, I'm learning from all the people we meet on here, all the wonderful guests and hosts and things. I'm thankful for the independent living movement and all the people with disabilities I have met, because I've learned from them, and you hear me say things, but I learned it from a lot of other people. I was very
right.
ignorant, I'll say, in the beginning. I didn't know all the things I talk about. I'm thankful for family, friends, like you guys. I'm thankful for you, Kim, and Jenny, all the people on here tonight, and the people who encouraged me. Number 5 is I'm thankful for my brain injury and all the pain and even the most severe migraines, because when I was weak, it has made me both humble and strong. And that was a hard one to write, but I really thought about it, and I said, I'm going to write that because it's actually true. There's been times when I have such a severe migraine where it scrapes away all the muddle in the middle, as I'll say, where it takes out all the things we worry about and fuss about, or am I caring about going to work the next day, or do I really care about this or that? It makes you think about your family and friends and the people who really mattered and what life really means when that happens. It kind of cleans out all the clutter. And so,
right.
Let me see. I lost my place. Let me see. I'm super thankful for Brain Injury Radio and it has,
mm-hmm.
and what it has done to encourage and strengthen me. Because, wow, without meeting first Craig, Cecilia, and you and all the hosts and all the people who call in again, it has made my cup runneth over. That's how best I can say that. And let me see. The last one is I'm especially thankful for Cindy and Tiffany, my supervisors, my directors, for taking a chance on hiring me when I felt like a broken man, and they used me like clay and molded me into who I am and what I am today. I never dreamed I would ever work again. In the past, when I say I went to work, oh, it was so hard in the beginning. It wasn't work. It was a chore in the beginning. I'm thinking, wow, I can't do this. My brain is broken. I can't function. How could I possibly do this? And they were standing there. We know you can. I think you can. I'm sure you can. Like the little train that could. And it just kept chugging down the line. And I was actually afraid when I got home from my first day's work. And my mom was standing there, Les, how'd it go? And I'm saying, they were so nice to me, Mom. I don't even know how to react, because all these years, everybody made me into the no-no man, like I say sometimes. And they were saying, no, you're a person of character. You've got a chance. You go do it. And they want me to start a support group. And that's, I know I've said a lot, so I'll let you continue on. But, and I'm super thankful for all of you here. It has altered the direction of my life in a way that I cannot describe. If you're listening out there and if you're downloading this show or whatever, it's an awesome program that Kim has, Recovery Now, because we are always in a step of recovery, I say, and all the other hosts and all the people we've met on here. It's just, it's a blessing knowing everybody, and I'll stop there.
Well, thank you, Les. You don't have to stop there. I've got another couple hours to kill, but you go.
But I really meant everything I said. And
that's
and,
beautiful and well thought. Well, you think about the exercise.
Well, I did. I thought about it at first and said, gosh, seven things? And then I said, that'll be a piece of cake. And it was. It didn't take me long at all because I was, once again, I was in pain and it scraped out all the stuff in the middle. And, I mean, I really had a monstrous pain in my head today. I forgot to eat dinner and lunch because of it, which made it only worse.
Yeah.
And I went and ate on dinner just a little while ago, something I forgot to even, I had some food, all I had to do is heat it in the microwave that I had already prepared. And it just shows, even we as hosts, they sometimes think, wow, these guys have really got it all together. Oh, man, I can tell you sometimes I feel like I'm the least of these who should be trying to do this, and yet I don't want anybody to allow themselves to give up. And one thing you do that I just love so much is all the art and the music, how it blends together. It's just a blessing to me. It really is. I come here not because I have to, not because I just want to. I get to. That's the difference. If you get to come to something, it's better than saying, I got to. Oh, boy, I got to go there again. I actually get to come here, and your show is amazing. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure for me to get to blend a lot of things that I love into one place, even silly things like making my dog's turkeys today to put on the show page. You know, it's just kind of fun. And Les Paul got earlier, I should tell you guys, you hear me make mention of being blessed that I married the IT department and talking about my husband, Gary, from time to time. And I always tell you guys he goes to bed about, you know, half hour, 45 minutes before this show is on. And so I thought some of you might think I was making him up because you've never heard him make a noise. But Les Paul actually talked to Gary tonight. Gary feels like he knows all of the hosts. And Jenny, you, several other people, you know, I've been around long enough now and you guys have been around that he feels like he knows you guys, but thought you guys might think that he actually didn't exist. So I want you to know that Les Paul and he talked on the telephone tonight.
I talked
and
to myself for a long time because nobody answered. I'm playing with you. No, her husband. I told her husband should have a radio show himself because he's got a radio voice. He's got a deep, real authentic kind of a radio personality, like, hello, this is live from, you know, something like that.
Yeah. And he hates the sound of his voice, and he's real shy.
I told him he sounds cool.
I know. I do, too. I tell him all the time, and it makes me so mad because one of the things he does for the government is make these videos, their training videos, and he does the software for him and, you know, all of that technical part of it. But then he has this other guy, you know, like acting out and talking through these videos. Well, I've heard the other – I've seen a couple of these, okay? And Jan and –
He's
and,
perfect for it.
I know. I tell him, why doesn't he do it? Because he's too shy and he hates the sound of his own voice on tape. And I'm like, you know how many of us have said that? And
I told him today
here.
That I said that.
I know. Well, I hope it helps because hopefully, you know, he does work for the government. They could be spying on me, I guess. But but if they are, I'm just going to say that guy is not very colorful that they've got narrating those deals. And then I said to him, well, I said, well, why don't you let me do it then? Even I'd probably keep them awake while they're in their training class. You know, nobody likes to be in class. So I figured, you know, if they had a voice with a little inflection in it, you know, it might be a little peppier. And I'm not allowed. I'm kind of banned for being naughty at the Christmas party 3 years ago. We'll probably never get invited again. It was a brain injury moment, but in the world of as the TBI turns, it was not one of my finer moments. It was the cake story, but that has nothing to do with Gary's voice. But that was cool that you guys got to talk and that you told him the same thing. I keep telling him, but he's not going to. He'll never do it. He's too shy. He likes
keep
to be
me on his back. I'll get him. He really, really sounds, I mean, really, really, really sounds like he could do it with his hands tied behind his back and his eyes closed.
Yeah, he'd be really good at it. And he did weather for the military for a lot of his 20 years. And so now making these video training, weather training modules, he knows the subject matter. So
he might
not
have to watch out, though, if he starts going, hi, this is blah, blah, blah on the radio talking about sexy weather.
Yeah. I
you
asked
might get
him
a fan
if I
club.
Could, I said, well, you know, you could get your listenership up and people would actually get things out of the training class. I said, if I can't narrate, can I at least show up in a yellow slicker with little rubber boots and an umbrella and jump in behind the boring guy with the flat voice?
Hi, I'm here to tell you the weather. I am dead, by the way. I died in 1975.
The weather's really cold right now.
It is snowing on the moon. That's about what it sounds like sometimes. It's like listening to the automated voice on a weather radio. Today is going to be cloudy at 7 p.m. The sky is sunny. You know that funny voice?
God. Do you think those come from the government, too? God, I hope Gary doesn't write those. I'm going to have to talk to him tomorrow. How far does this training thing
Well, they're robotic, automated voices.
Oh, jeez. That is bad. Well, anyway, that was really cool. It was neat that you guys got to talk.
It was.
And
I really enjoyed it.
And he enjoyed your song. Les sang him a song. I insisted on that way. You know, you guys know how I am out there. So, of course, let's guess. What did he sing him? He sang him Beatles.
And a Beatles birthday song.
Yep. His birthday was actually November 4th, but because he's always in bed, it's not like you guys ever get a chance to say anything. But, yeah, it's probably a good idea since he has a nice voice if I just keep him under wraps and make sure he's in bed so that people don't hear it. If I want to protect my interests, I guess, you know, maybe you shouldn't wish too hard, you know, so the guys all fall asleep during the weather videos, you know, not my deal, you know, too many
times. He could have been one of the DJs on WKRP in Cincinnati, the television show.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah, he could. Let's see. Jenny said, please tell Les that he needs to change his list, not molded, but he molded himself with their assistance.
Do I have mold on me? I see what you
I know.
Mean. Well, I did that under a migraine. I'm even laughing under a migraine. And that's where I challenge people to do the opposite of what you feel like. Because right now I don't feel very good. My eyes actually hurt. But do I sound like it? I've learned how, as long as I'm not sick to the point I'm forced to lay down, that I'm going to stand up and be counted. And that's one thing I think we should talk about more often, about not giving up and giving in. And, you know, I'm thankful for Thanksgiving. And Jenny, I was fixing to type it to you. I'll just say I'm so thankful for you because you're out there posting and posting and posting all over the internet and helping people. You're a blessing too. Thank you for all you do.
Mm-hmm. She definitely is. Definitely is. All right. Well, I'm going to give you a break for a moment because I have another agenda and I'll be back. So take a few deep breaths and hopefully your headache will go away and mine will too. It's kind of why I came tonight too. I talked about last night, you know, I mean, I could have easily let that, dang, I shouldn't have muted him. I always forget that turkey drug that makes you fall asleep or whatever it is, but anatriptyline, or he'll correct me later, but you know, I wasn't so sure. Last night I was talking about, I was concerned about sensory overload. Love to have the family, grateful for that 50-year tradition, but a lot of people in close quarters and a lot of confusion and dishes clanging and sounds, a lot of multiple sounds that I'm not used to all the time. And I was feeling a little stressed about that and some, I call it hangover, leftover stress from some things in the last couple of weeks that have just been challenging on an already full plate, you know, that full basket thing. And you know, things couldn't have worked out better. You shake it off and go with the best attitude. I think once you make the decision, and again, I think that, you know, that God had my back. You know, you were here last night and heard Kimberly, and my attitude at the end of that show was 180 from where it was when I started that show, and it completely changed all the way around, a feeling, a kind of a dark feeling that had been hanging on me for 2 weeks, and it was an aha moment. You know, of that like thinking that we talk about, being around people of like thinking, people that bring us up instead of bringing us down, you know, because we can be emotionally fragile and emotionally volatile myself. So, you know, if you put a bunch of people in a room like that, it's going to be like a bunch of pit bulls. So it's good if everybody is in the same agreement, admitting their faults to their fellows, but not using that as an excuse, using it as a point, a light towards recovery. Because if you know that that's one of the things that cause chaos in your life, in your relationships, that would maybe be a thing that you would want to change. One of the places I hang out, they have a definition for insanity, and that definition for insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results, doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting different results, and that's the definition of insanity. And so once we are willing, and this is one of my recovery acronyms, HOW. Once we're willing to be honest, open-minded, and willing to take an honest look at ourselves and be open to trying different tools of recovery that can take us down another path where we can find our peace and our center at least some of the time, you know, enough to cause damage control and hopefully to cause an easiness of the spirit, then that just, I don't know, that feels right to me. That feels right. And last night, Les Paul used the word safe, nurturing, and I think that encouraging and, you know, those are the things that I come for. And whether I was in the not the best mood a few days ago and not wanting to be here tonight, wanting to isolate, go to the family thing, come home and isolate, or couple different options, I got to thinking, geez, I'm talking on my show about different tools of recovery. I talk about getting out of yourself and into others, and I thought, you know, I wound up having a good day today, so I could have used that as a reason to not come too. You know, I'm cool. My day went okay. But but I thought about it, and it isn't about me. It's about the fact that we broadcast all over the United States into 36 different countries, as I understand it, and we're embedded, whatever that means, one of Craig's, we're embedded in tons of places, hundreds of places, and so, you know, we can be heard all over the place, and crap, while I was thinking of that, I just lost my point, but in any case, the people all over, I think we're all seeking to love and be loved, to be understood, because one of the common refrains I hear here is a lack of understanding out in the community, in our relationships with others. And so we got to start at home. And at home means looking in the mirror and starting with ourselves and then carrying that out to others in a way that we're going to bring them up and not bring them down. So I'm going to read something. I know lately it's seemed I've read a lot of spiritual stuff, and I'm not afraid to use the word, you know, I said the word God a few times, you know, on the show. And my personal belief is that I would just hope everybody has a power greater than themselves, because I know that if self is your higher power, my God, we've all crashed and burned, and if our last resort was ourself, self-reliance, then a lot of us wouldn't be here, we wouldn't be achieving, we wouldn't have made it in the first place. And so, you know, no matter what you call your higher power, and I just freely express myself the way I do, I'm not a thumper, but I'm a believer, and this is one of those tools too. You know, this was a reading that I saw this off Goodreads earlier, and I thought it was pretty cool. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll have more callers. I'll unmute Les and anyone else who wants to call in and share what they're grateful for or talk about anything that's on your mind. If you're feeling lonely, if this time of year makes you feel a little uneasy, if you're having a little sensory overload from your day or feeling some sadness for what didn't happen in your day, feel free to call in and share with us, 424-243-9540, because truly that's why the doors are open tonight, and I showed up. So I appreciate you guys being here. Clear the throat. The very quality of your life, whether you love it or hate it, is based upon how thankful you are toward God. It is one's attitude that determines whether life unfolds into a place of blessedness or wretchedness. Indeed, looking at the same rose bush, some people complain that roses have thorns, while others rejoice that some thorns come with roses. It all depends on your perspective. This is the only life you will have before you enter eternity. If you want to find joy, you must first find thankfulness. Indeed, the one who is thankful for even little joys much. But the unappreciative soul is always miserable, always complaining, always lives outside the shelter of the Most High God. Perhaps the worst enemy we have is not the devil, but our own tongue. James tells us the tongue is set among our members as that which sets on fire the course of our life. That's James 3:6. He goes on to say, this fire is ignited by hell. Consider, with our own words, we can enter the spirit of heaven or the agonies of hell. It is hell with its punishments, torments, and misery that controls the life of the grumbler and complainer. Paul expands this thought in Corinthians, where he reminds us of the Jews who grumble and were destroyed by the destroyer. Time we open up to grumbling and complaining, the quality of our life is reduced proportionately. A destroyer is bringing our life to ruin. People often ask me, what is the ruling demon over our church or city? They expect me to answer with the ancient Aramaic or Phoenician name of a fallen angel. What I usually tell them is a lot more practical. One of the most pervasive evil influences over our nation is ingratitude. Do not minimize the strength and cunning of this enemy. Paul said that the Jews who grumbled and complained during their difficult circumstances were destroyed by the destroyer. Who was this destroyer? If you insist on discerning an accident world ruler, one of the most powerful spirits mentioned in the Bible is Abaddon, whose Greek name is Apollyon. It means destroyer. Paul said the Jews were destroyed by this spirit. In other words, when we are complaining or unthankful, we open the door to the destroyer, the demon king over the abyss of hell. In the presence of God, multitudes in our nation have become specialists in the science of misery. They are experts, moral accountants who can, in a moment, tally all the wrongs society has ever done to them or their group. I have never talked with one of these people who was happy, blessed, or content about anything. They expect an imperfect world to treat them perfectly. Truly, there are people in this wounded country of ours, who need special attention. However, most of us simply need to repent of ingratitude, for it is ingratitude itself that is keeping wounds alive. We simply need to forgive the wrongs of the past and become thankful for what we have in the present. The moment we become grateful, we actually begin to ascend spiritually into the presence of God. The psalmist wrote, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." If it does not matter to you what your circumstances are, the instant you begin to thank God, even though your situation is not changed, you begin to change. The key that unlocks the gates of heaven is a thankful heart. Entrance into the courts of God comes as you simply begin to praise the Lord. That's by Francis Fragnipane, and that's off of Goodreads. And if anybody wants a copy of that, you can write to me, and I'll be happy to provide it. On that note, I think it's a good segue to Chris Duke's song, Greater Than Me. And I will tell you how to find Chris Duke. Some of you know him from Heroes, but it's ChrisDukesBand.com. Or if you're on Facebook, /ChrisDukesBand. Again, he's the one who also does Heroes. If you want to tell Chris that we're grateful for his talent and him sharing it with us tonight, that would be awesome. And this is Greater Than Me. is Chris, pardon me, Frog again. It is so cold in Omaha. That is Chris Duke's band. And again, just a really great guy, Chris Duke's band, Greater Than
He's
Me.
He's awesome. He really is.
He is, and he's a real nice guy, too. I wanted to make an announcement real quick. I had a couple different things for friends of Brain Injury Radio, but a lot of you know our first Monday of the month hostess, Kim Chapman from the Joe Necro Foundation. They are making some wreaths for Christmas to help raise funds for the Necro Foundation, and they are just beautiful. I'm going to put the website in, but their wreaths are selling fast. I've seen them. There's two different styles, and it says, give a gift that brings holiday spirit with purpose. The Necro Foundation Wreath of Life. These beautiful handcrafted holiday wreaths have been made by aneurysm and AVM survivors. Each wreath contains a unique and personal message from the aneurysm AVM survivor by which it was made. Proceeds directly benefit the Joe Necro Foundation and their mission of supporting brain aneurysm research, treatment, and awareness. So this holiday, bring cheer to your door and love to your heart by knowing that your gift is making a difference. And they're really awesome looking. And so I will type it in, but for those of you just listening, it's www.joenecrofoundation.com. And that's JoeNecrofoundation.com. And in a minute, I'll type that in there. But those are some pretty cool wreaths. And Brain Aneurysm Foundation is selling some cookbooks, and all of the recipes were made by aneurysm, or reported by anyway, aneurysm survivors. And I happened to make it into their book and their cookbook, which was really a joke. I asked Janet if PB&J counted or carry out or, you know, reservations, and she's like, no. So I had to go to one of those MrChef.com things and find something that even looked possibly like I could make that, you know. And then they have one page where it is a picture of the survivor and a blurb about their condition and then their recipe. And so if you check with me about that or BAF, I'm trying to think of what their website is. If you're interested in that cookbook and it's reasonably priced to help the Brain Aneurysm Foundation, get a hold of me and I'll give you that information as well. So just a couple of friends of Brain Injury Radio, and I thought I'd mention it if I didn't think that they were both really cool things that you'd like and that it would help friends and support other survivors, I wouldn't bring it up. So very cool.
Yes, it is.
And so that was the message. And do you remember after the song what I read before? Because I read a lot of it I was watching the chat. Read a lot of things about God and that we can allow the destroyer into our life and that negativity, you know, what he was saying was grumbling and whatever the two words he used, the one word that went in my head that encapsulated both of the words the author was using was negativity. But
yeah,
you know, he was talking about grum and talking about the merits of positive, and that in his case, you know, in this author's view, you know, God is the way, the light of the spirit is one of the only ways that you can get to that place once you've felt you've been in hell and it's a long crawl out. It's hard to find that fellowship of the spirit and stay locked in
That's
to that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something that someone posted on Facebook today, and I posted it on my Facebook pages. Let me see. And I typed on Facebook, take a look at this amazing Thanksgiving treat in the sky. And if you can't believe in God, if you see these birds, what they did, it was absolutely amazing. I'll try to post it right now in the link right now because I hope it goes in there right. I just posted it. It's birds that did thousands and thousands of birds doing this artwork in the sky, and I've never seen anything like it before. They would switch directions, and it looked like a giant snake crawling, flying across the sky. And then they said it looked like the Loch Ness Monster that people talk about so often. And it would change colors and it changed form, and it looked like a giant living creature performing in the sky. And it was just, it looked like it was a half a mile long. And it was thousands
wow.
and thousands of birds in a giant flock. I hope that's what I just posted on the chat room, I'm sorry. And I hope this is the right one because it's beautiful. Well, it says that site doesn't exist when I opened it. Hmm, it's there for real because I looked at it. That's weird.
Must have hit a wrong key. I hear it's cold in your area. You're probably getting cold fingers, too. You've heard of cold feet. We're all getting cold fingers out here in host land.
Well,
in
I'll
the,
try to repost
colder...
it and make sure I get the right one because everybody should see this. It's beautiful.
Good. Well, it is hard to hear some of our guests and their stories and not believe. And I think, you know, I've thought about people that have had negative experiences, but they're still alive. They come back alive. And I have a theory on that, too. And it's maybe like guidance that you need to make a shift in your path.
Yes.
That nothing's been done so badly that you're being taken now, or maybe you're just not going to be done and you're not in shape to be taken right now. You know,
I truly,
you got to go
I'll
back
just
and
say,
do some work.
With what you said, I believe all of us hosts and guests who are survivors and people that we've met on here, I truly believe a lot of us probably, if not for what we're doing or what we were guided to do, would not have made it. I really do. I mean, I wanted to go when I was suffering in the tremendous pain. I did not want to live. And I'm sure you felt the same way or very similarly.
I did, yeah.
And it's like a calling called us back. And I look back and look at my family. You were talking a while ago, Kim, I don't mean to take too much time, but
no,
did anybody have a bad day or anything today? I woke up. Before I woke up, when I went to bed last night after listening to your show, I felt like I was on a mountaintop. It was so awesome. And so I went to bed, wow, that was a great show. What a wonderful guest she had. And I went to bed, and I don't know if in my sleep I started thinking about my family or what, but then I get up this morning, I walk out to the kitchen, and I pick up a glass, and I didn't think about what – I noticed the glass felt smaller than usual. It was a regular drinking glass, but it was a special one. It had my brother's name with his handwriting written in the glass. He had them specially made for where he worked. And it said Philip Morgan. And I had his name in my hand, and he died. And I instantly went, oh, my gosh, I didn't know it was going to hit me like that. I started thinking about all my family that had died, like I've talked about on here. It brought me down about 6 or 7 levels. My head started hurting. I started feeling awful. I mean, I didn't feel like I could function. After I had been on a mountaintop listening to your show last night, I thought, wow, I'm going to make it through the day. And still the old devil came running at me with that. And that, I believe that's why I've had the migraine and everything. I'm feeling much better after being on here. It's a process we go through. But seeing his handwritten signature with his made in glass, it just... I felt like, oh, my gosh, my brother died at 49 years old, and he was a handsome, 6'1" tall, skinny, muscular man that could do just about any form of sports, jumped, run, tell jokes, was a DJ, had his the name of his company was called The Spin Doctors. It was hilarious. He told a million jokes. And the day he walked into our house in the living room and started telling jokes and picked up my mom and told her he loved her and said, Les, I'm going to live to be 100, maybe 105 years old. And I said, why you say that? He said, I got an excellent doctor's report. He walked out the door for the very last time that night. And he went out into eternity and died. We got a phone call later that night from a friend of his saying he had passed while he was playing ice hockey, had a massive heart attack and died. And I'm saying, you're not talking about Phil. You're not talking about my brother. I just saw him. He was just telling us how he loved us, and he died. And the only reason I'm saying that is because this, I know this is Thanksgiving. I'm thanks for God giving me my brother Phil and my mother Jessie and my brother David and my brother Steve and my nephews and my nieces and things. And, wow, it's just amazing to think that we are the survivors. And I out-survived so many family members that it really got me down when I got up this morning. I could barely function for a while. And then I started thinking about all the positive things about Brain Injury Radio. And then I started thinking about what you said, name seven things you're, how'd you word it positive about or thankful for. And it started lifting me out of it. And yet I still had a bad headache, which turned into a severe migraine, which I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that I lived through all of those. And so I'm super thankful for tonight. This show's a blessing to me. It really is. And that's all I want to say, but thank you. Are you there, Kim?
Uh-oh. Yeah, I am now. I am now. I thought about you. I know some of your story, and I thought about you, and my heart ached for you, and I said a prayer for you, and
Well, thank you.
That was really hard and challenging to have so much loss and the circumstances, and I think that probably is why the migraine. It makes sense, but know that in spite of the fact that you didn't have the same kind of traditional holiday and you had those losses, that you're loved and admired by so many people, and that those people you lost were such a great influence in your life and left you with good and understanding and empathy and sensitivity, that you're just somebody that everybody loves.
Thank you.
So I hope some of that can help a little bit.
It does. And I'm so thankful for all you guys on here. It really is a lifesaver for me. I really think my life has been dramatically altered for the better since discovering Brain Injury Radio Network. I sent a message out to Craig. I'm not going to say what it was or anything, but thanking him for what he did in creating Brain Injury Radio. I don't think he realizes how much it's helped people all the way, always. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And so I just hope we just keep giving back like we are doing and like you're doing and like Jenny and everybody out there is doing tonight, because it's a blessing. It really is.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. Well, we do have another caller. Like I said, in between callers, I'm kind of Kennedy. There was a Kennedy anniversary the other day, and here's a quote from John F. Kennedy. As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. And I think that's definitely one for thought. And I'll give you one other. The Pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts.
Wow.
No Americans have more impoverished than these who nevertheless set aside a day of Thanksgiving. And with that, and with that, we'll bring on area code 765. Who do we have with us tonight? Area code 765, you're on the air.
Sorry, I muted myself. Hi, this is Brandon from Indiana. How are you folks?
Good, Brandon. I just, I saw the question mark up, so I thought that you had a question or comment. Did I make a mistake?
No, I did hit one, and I have a familiar voice there, but that was Les. And so it was a very nice Thanksgiving. I just got into the tail end of what the gentleman said, and the two things that she just read off were amazing. And the last one, wow, I've not ever studied, I don't recall studying the pilgrims in seven graves to one hut. So you're building a little shelter and you're burying seven. That's unreal. And then to set aside one day for Thanksgiving, I'm fed up with the easiness and the simplicity, the copying of copy and paste in Facebook. Is just, yeah, I am carrying on through comedy to avoid depression. And the artistic ability that I lack, I don't know, I'm expressing things in the language that I write and pronounce it through phonetic, somewhat breaks some icebreakers, that makes no sense, it opens up conversation, and there's people that believe me as well as ridicule me, who I've deleted, but it's just, I don't know. If a painter has a painting, and, you know, there's groups discussing and seeing the painting, or reading groups, reading the poetry, or even a whole book at the library, they discuss it, and it's just a simple way for me to get in conversation, and I'm getting way off on a tangent. I'm sorry, I've been practicing on concise, but I'm going to be quiet on that.
Okay, well, what you want to do is press one again, so the question mark will go down, but come back, press one again.
Yeah.
If you are moved to come back on, I just won't know the difference unless you press one again. That'll take your question mark down, and then feel free to put it back up and step in any time. And I'm glad that you're with us tonight, Brandon.
Thank you, Kim.
Me too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You hang tight, and we'll come back to you. Okay, I'm going to go off on a tangent again, give more of you a chance to call in if you'd like. The number is 424-243-9540. Share with us what's on your heart tonight as we wind down. I think Thanksgiving is officially over on the East Coast. We'll be in about 40 minutes in my time zone. So we're winding down, and we went through the buildup, we went through the process, and now we can decompress with each other and know that this kicks off a season. And in a season, we're going to process through joy, and we're going to process through heaviness of spirit. And we're going to have to use our tools and our faith more than ever. And I have another quote here, and then something that I left out in the other room. Ooh, actually, I'm tripping on a dog bone right now. My computer battery was freezing in the room that I was in, and so I had to step out of the room that I was in, and I left a piece of paper, but I've got it now, so if you can bear with me, remember it's later Thanksgiving night, so I may not be a graceful ballerina tonight, but I did show up and unlock the door. So in the spirit of what you were talking about too, Brandon, I'm going to tell you about this next song in a minute, but first I will say Thanksgiving Day comes by statute once a year. To the honest man comes as frequently as the heart of gratitude will allow. That's by Edward Sanford Martin. And as I was just mentioning, in this time where we can be in the same place and hear honest, raw emotion, whether that's, you know, isn't that awesome? And what a great example of recovery to be able to be honest about being down, but be taking action to try to get yourself the balance and throw yourself that life raft, you know, to come back up. I wasn't planning on sharing this, actually, but something kind of weird did happen with me. I opened up the obituaries a couple days ago, and two things were there. Two people were there that I knew, and I talked about that Fine Lines book earlier and how I got the cover, but one of the pictures inside that was selected, and I sent in this disc months ago, I had forgotten about what I even sent. I sent 50 pictures to him. I don't know whether he's going to use any of them. Well, Gary always goes to the back of the book, and I had heard that this guy, kind of a funny name, very eclectic, been around the music community forever. I didn't care to play his music here, but been around our community's music thing scene for years, and also writes the horoscope, real new agey out there, good-hearted fellow, for one of the local rags about town kind of things, does these way out there deals. Anyway, I heard about 5 days ago that Mojo suddenly died. And we got the book a couple days later, my fall edition of Fine Lines, and I saw my cover. And then Gary read the back, and I had five other pictures that were accepted into the book. And one of them was called Man and Guitar. And I've gotten so many indie musicians and so much time has passed, I thought, I wonder what man with guitar. And I flipped through the book to find the page, and I open it, and oh my God, it was Mojo. And when I had the opportunity to take that picture, it was on 9/11. We have a big display of flags that go across our memorial park. So there's 3,000 flags. They all have the name around them and the age and where the person was when they were taken and what they did. And so I was there at 9/11, and then I walked across to the beautiful rose garden that's blooming at that time. And I was taking photographs, and I heard music, and I came around the corner, and it was Mojo, and from a photographer's eye, he had these big pine trees behind him, and he was sitting on this park bench and surrounded by roses and had a big fedora on his head and a huge long hair and a long beard, looked kind of like Cousin It. But he was bent over playing the guitar in the park, and so I walked over and I asked him if he minded if I took some pictures, and I'd even send them to him if he wanted to put them on his website or whatever. That it was a cool thing. Sat and talked to him for a while, and you know, that was about the end of it. But that's how I got those pictures, and apparently stuck one of them in there because I thought it was cool. But isn't that interesting that three days. I hear that he dies, which was unlikely anyway that I would have even heard that news. But I did have occasion to hear it. 3 days later, I get a book, I open it, and there's a picture I took of this guy published in a book that's going to go all over the world, and he'll never know about it. And the way that he died, you talk about, here's a contrast for you, and that was something for me to think about. I got some detail as to exactly how he died. I knew that he just had a heart attack and boom, pew, gone. That fast, in a flash. But he had been taking a bath, a warm bath, and his girlfriend had been rubbing his shoulders, and he was oming. He was Muslim, I think, but he was oming, chanting in the tub, and she went to get a cup of hot tea, and he had quit chanting, but people quit praying too. She just thought he was at the end of the sequence, and she came back in with the tea, and he was gone. And I thought, wow, what a lucky way to go. He was totally relaxed. He was connecting with his higher power. He was feeling touch, you know, from his girlfriend. So he was feeling, having feeling, let's say, and was taken that quickly. Boom, gone. And in the same part of the paper where the obits are memorials. And every year at this time, there's a memorial. It's usually the same picture. But this time, it was of him when he was a little boy, a baby, probably between one and two years old. And he looked so much like him. But he was this guy, Michael, that was a good friend of mine. And he had gotten into substance abuse. And actually, he had married a woman a lot younger than him, 20 years younger than him, and they had 3 children and had been married 17 years. And then she went to her 20th reunion, or whatever you are at that age. She was maybe skating into 38 or close to 40 at this time. And she wound up hooking up with the old football player. And he said he felt like an old man sitting in the corner while all of these people that she had grown up with in this other state, so he didn't know any of them, you know, were all reminiscing and sharing a life, and she was part of that group and not part of him, it felt like to him. And apparently there were some other things going on in his life, but I think he started self-medicating some of that pain away and feeling the loss of his marriage, and he killed himself. He blew his brains out. But before he did that, 2 weeks before he did it, he came to a place that I introduced him to about 20 years ago, and I hadn't seen him. We had talked once a year, once every couple of years, but he had been talking to me a lot in the 2 weeks prior to that happening, and I had no idea. I knew he was depressed, but he was someone who had been very arrogant in his life and outspoken. And gosh, we all go through some peaks and valleys, right? But he did it. And he went to a park, and he shot himself, and I found out in the morning. And it took me apart at the seams. This person was someone I had known since childhood. And we got closer later in life for a while. And so you look at the contrast, Mojo going in a grace kind of a way, and a gentle way. And Michael eroding his soul and spirit to the point where he thought that there was nothing left, and he finished it. And what was really rude is he left behind a wife. He had every reason to be angry there, I suppose, but he had 3 young children. And those 3 young children, this time of year is probably a real gas for them, right? there for Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and as it gets bitterly cold, they get to think about their dad abandoning them and leaving. And every year the family puts the memorial in, and I just thought it was really something to think about. And maybe another thing to be grateful for, the awarenesses that appear in front of us all the time. And sometimes we pay attention and notice, and sometimes we let them get by us, but there are messages around us all the time, and we have to be open to receive them. I'm going to read you one more thing and play a song, and then I'm going to let the rest of you on the mic. Again, I've been kind of trying to do these slick segues into the three songs or so that we've played from the subject matter. But so tonight we've talked about some good days and some bad days. And one of Nashville's most prolific and highly regarded songwriters, Gary Nicholson, has worked with most of country's stalwarts as well as the contemporary generation of stars. He boasts credits on albums by Reba McEntire, the Dixie Chicks, George Jones, Montgomery Gentry, Garth Brooks, the Mavericks, Emmylou Harris, Ringo Starr, Willie Nelson, Bonnie Raitt, Billy Ray Cyrus, Waylon Jennings, Patti Loveless, Tanya Tucker, Conway Twitty, Susie Bogus, and Keith Whitley, to name a few. He also has worked in other popular music fields, ranging from pop to R&B and blues, and his clients include Dave Edmunds, John Mayall, Neil Diamond, and B.B. King. Nicholson began writing after moving to Los Angeles in his teens, joining a band playing Flying Burrito Brothers songs. When Graham Parsons traveled through Texas, he befriended Nicholson, leading to a small publishing deal in Los Angeles. He continued writing for his own band in a vein he described as pre-Eagles country rock. His breakthrough came in 1980 when Mickey Gilley sang his jukebox argument in the movie Urban Cowboy. Gary's won two Grammys, one in 2005 for The Cost of Living, a Best Contemporary Blues Album, and in 2001 for Nothing Personal, Best Contemporary Blues Album. And you can find him at GaryNicholsonMusic.com or at Facebook.com/GaryNicholsonMusic. And I will put those things in the chat room. I will be prepared to unmute the rest of you after we take just 4 minutes and 34 seconds to reflect on the fact that we should never make permanent decisions based on temporary circumstances, and that something we all share is good days and bad days.
Everybody wants to know how I get along in these dark days since you've been gone. Sometimes I'm fine, sometimes I'm dying, stumbling through one step at a time. I have down again. right back where I've always been. I have good days, bad days, sunshine and rain. I have good days, bad days, but some things never change. For the nights are all by a phone that don't ring. But what's the use in going out on the town? I know I'll never wear your memory down. I have good days, bad days, sunshine and rain. I have
again, that was Gary Nicholson, Good Days, Bad Days. So I did put his contact information in. Be sure to check Gary. He's new to our lineup. And with his pedigree, I really appreciate him. When I told him about Brain Injury Radio and how that song resonated with me and begged him a little. Actually, he was a very nice man, but I was very grateful that he let me play his song for you guys and share it because it's so relatable to all of us. So area code 765, you're on the air.
Hi.
Brandon, did I do that to you again?
I did hit one, and I did want to comment, so it was great timing. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay. The question is, how do I access the chat room? I tried to look up some things that were shared on the radio the other night, and there's no chat room that I've seen anything. I didn't see any notes, and people said they're going to post that, and I was trying to write, it was dark, the pen was not working, and I ran out of room and scribbled on some other stuff, and I can't put it all together. But.
Well, the chat room, you can access that by going to braininjuryradio.com and getting a username and password up in the right. I think, you know, either log in or sign in, open an account like with any webpage. And so you get a username and password, and then you go to Brain Injury, you sign in with your username and password, and then you can use the search window if you want to type in Brain Injury Radio, and that will take you to our shows. And then when you click on the show, you'll see the chat room at the program page that tells you what the show's about, and the scrolling pictures is on top. You got to remember to scroll down, and the chat room is below it. Another easy way that you can do it is that one of the places I mentioned that we sometimes post things, I do a lot, like from my story last night, the Miracle Lollipop, on the Brain Injury Radio, if you do Facebook, Brain Injury Radio has a Facebook page, and for example, I post all my shows there every week. I'm the usual Wednesday night host, so on Tuesday night or Wednesday, I post my show there, and you can see what it's about. And if you're interested in listening, you can click right there on that link, and it'll take you to Brain Injury Radio to that program. But you do need to open an account first so that you're able to log in. Otherwise, you can see the chat, but you can't participate in it. So you do want to go to www.braininjuryradio.com and get an account where you have a username and password. And then I just watch the Brain Injury Radio Facebook page, and or I have a page called In a Flash. There's about 20 different Facebook pages, and all of our hosts are supposed to be posting their shows on Brain Injury Radio. Otherwise, it can be kind of hard to find us if you're just, although it's getting easier on braininjuryradio.com. Craig's done a lot of rearranging, and it'll be easier to find the shows that you want to go to. But the chat room is at the bottom of the program page. You just need to get an account.
Thank you, Kim. That's important, is that I need to get an account and get another username and another password. This is being affiliated and being a friend on Brain Injury Radio on Facebook is not going to access that. So I will do that when I get to the mainframe computer. I appreciate that.
No problem. No problem. And if you have any, if you need any help, again, you can write in and I'll see if I can't help you figure that out. But, yeah, just go to braininjuryradio.com and open up an account. And some of the people that have their hands up after might even have some other suggestions for you, but that's kind of how I do it. So I hope that helps. And then you'll be able to see the chat room. But otherwise, we post a lot of things on those Facebook pages just because it seems like a lot of people are into the social media. So, and the TBI Survivors Network is another one. And I think maybe I will unmute another 765, if you don't mind, because he might be able to shed more insight or not. I'm not sure. We'll see. And then I'll ask Les Paul. 765, you're on the line.
Hi, Kim. You want me to share insight on what?
Oh, whatever you feel thankful for today. He was asking how to get into the chat room, and I was best explaining how to do that to someone who's never done it before. And if you don't have a really magic easy way, then my explanation was probably good enough, and you can go on to how your day was and how you're feeling, because Matt just had some any surgery is serious as far as I'm concerned. Just a few days ago, and so we're wanting to know how he's healing. Matt is our Sunday night host, and from Milton, Indiana. So how you feeling? How was your day, and what are you thankful for today, or are you unthankful?
Well, I'm thankful for being in Milton, Indiana, and alive. I guess that would be the first part.
Yeah, home. Huge. Very huge. You're home. Good, good.
Yeah,
so you were home.
Surgery went good. Surgery went very well. Hell, they let me out that, or, I mean, excuse me, heck, they let me out that night. The veins popped down. I had some arteries where they did that full arterial bypass in my leg, and my scar tissue in my brain. There was some blockage down where I had major infections down around my ankle after the surgery. And as it's grown back together, there was some blockage. So, just like you see on YouTube, I watched him run this little clip. He let me be a wakeboard since it was my fifth time in the last 2 years.
Wow.
He run this clip down my leg, and I watched him put one of them balloons in. You know, it's similar to heart catheterizations or, you know, things like that, I guess. You know, they run the wire down. It's got the little hook on it. And
oh,
put
God.
A balloon down, and he inflated
wow.
it, and I watched it in black and white and blue and red on a big screen TV right in front of me. And he likes rock and roll classic music, so we listened to classical music while we was in there and did the surgery. It was kind of neat this time.
Oh, geez, that's really optimistic of you.
Well, with some other issues and with my stomach, I had three operations where I had to be wide awake on my stomach before they took it out. But I'm kind of used to it. They're kind of used to me. I've been in there a lot, and we all had fun. I got to tell them about brain injury radio. They was freaking out. I hadn't seen them since we started a year ago, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, do you get a frequent flyer discount?
Don't mention that.
I can check with the government and see if they get one.
No, kidding. They ought to at least give you some, like, extra bedpans you can plant
free
flowers in the summer. Or
you
those big
in the hospital?
Plastic pitchers. You should be getting all kinds of free soap.
They never turn me down for a free pair of those socks, and I love wearing those socks. I don't care what color they are, as long as they're extra large.
Wow.
The skid-free socks, the hospital kind socks, got all the rubber stuff on both sides of them. I got all kinds. I must have 20 pair of them or more. My kids
wow.
have them. My so.
Well, then you've gotten some bonus out of it. Well, I'm so glad that you got home, you know, like you said, through the surgery, home. I can hardly believe that you think it was more attractive this time because of the music and your experience. That kind of gives me the willies, but, got, you know, good for you. I mean, totally good for you. If you had to do
well,
it, it was a better experience. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, he knew I recorded that last time that we had, that he had the major surgery, and, of course, we had talked about this in his office before the surgery, and he designed a way and came up with a way. You know, he knew
that I could
handle it, or I would, and if not, he had a whole bunch of medicine to shove right in the IV in case I couldn't, I guess.
I bet he did.
Well, it sounds like you have a good rapport with your doctor, and he's the good news, like you said, is I guess he's used to working with you, so he kind of knows what to expect or whatever.
Right. Well, that's the Matt Duff inside a brain-injured life I ground here, I guess, because I'm just me. I'm like I am this all the time, and I'm that same way in surgery or in a doctor's office. I'm on borrowed time anyway. I'm up to 5.5 years of extra innings. It's all good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the things they've done and created and made out of me is just, that's beyond my belief.
And
I
it's bonus time.
Pardon?
It's bonus time. It made me think of a song John Lennon wrote just before he died, before he was murdered in December of 1980, I believe. I'm forgetting exactly what date. But he had written a song called Living on Borrowed Time without a thought for tomorrow, and then he was murdered right after he finished working on an album, recording for an album that he was making. And the song, I've got the CD and I play it, and it gives me an eerie feeling. A lot of us are living on borrowed time, but thankfully it's not ours to decide who takes it and who gives it up and who lives, because I believe in God. I believe he's watching over us. I really do. I don't think it's an accident we're all still here.
Well, like I tell people, I wasn't looking for God any more than I was looking for my next beer, I guess, 5 years ago, but I'm not looking for beer no more. That's still strange. And I'm still not looking for God. You know why? Because he found me.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he found you, yeah. You keep believing that, because that's the truth. That's
it
the
is.
Truth.
I do, and you know, he didn't turn me into a religious fanatic or anything. I mean, I don't go to church enough is the way I look at it, but do I believe in that ultra strange wild light? Yes, I do.
Yeah, me too.
As rare as this conversation is with the two people I'm having it with, you well understand where I'm at, and, you know, not everybody else does. Not a lot of people do. Some of the listeners that we have on here do, and I'm glad that they have the opportunity to hear us, because not everybody gets conversations like we get day in, day out, nightly, however it might be, you know.
Yeah.
We're sick of each other and each other's stuff. But I'm joking.
Mm.
But
yeah,
you know,
I know.
I'd never get sick of struggles of survival and how a person survives. But
we're just aware of other people's stuff. But you know, Matt, when you talked about what you said in the chat room, you really might. I mean, if you wind up, you know, laying around being bored, you should really check out my show from last night. I think you would really, really like this girl and appreciate this story. And there's some similarities, some more subtle similarities, but you've been through a lot, and she's been through a lot. And I think you just really like her, and there's a miracle. If you looked on like My Face page or I think Brain Injury Radio, there's pictures of some beautiful lollipops. And that's a teaser. That's something that happened in that interview that was a miracle, and I think it will really bring up your spirits.
Well, listen to tomorrow, as I'm not going to Black Friday shop at all.
Wait till Cyber Monday.
I'm not leaving the house, and it's the day after, and I'm going to work on putting the show together for Sunday. I'm actually going to have a guest this Sunday, or I'm supposed to.
Good for you.
Well, I figure maybe it's time. I didn't want to put anybody in the picture and me have a TIA and not be able to have their show after they was looking forward to it, or we'd worked on it all week, and, you know, I just didn't feel like putting anybody in that mood. I guess we shouldn't have this conversation live on air, but
no, I gotcha. I gotcha.
I just didn't put anybody. I just didn't want to put anybody or set anything up in the position, or not be able to fulfill it myself, and put more stress on myself by trying to get it done. I'm thinking,
right?
You know, Matt, how about being your own guest for a while?
Yeah. Well, it's whatever makes you feel more comfortable.
I know some stuff. I've been to some schools. I've got some stuff to offer, so why not?
Yeah, why not? Well, you guys, I hate to say, but it's about 6 minutes. Well, I mean, not even 6 minutes. It's about 5 minutes. My clock never seems to work on this darn thing, and so I want to really thank you guys all for being here this evening, and I hope that you can take what was good from your Thanksgiving and carry that with you through the rest of the holiday season. You know, you can be lonely and social at the same time. And like the song said, we all have our good days and our bad days. But since I decided to come and open up the doors tonight, bless your hearts for coming to keep me company, and many blessings to you. I'm going to close the show in my usual way, and it's something for you guys on the board. Thanks, Brandon, Matt, Les Paul, for calling. And something we all have, and I truly believe you guys have, and this will be a good thought for you to go to sleep with, and this is Leah West and Guardian Angel. You can find her at leahwest.com or Facebook/Leah West. Good night, you guys. God bless.
Higher than